Ciao ragazzi, I'm Phil.
And I'm Alan.
And together we created this podcast to bring you interviews with pizza professionals from all over the world.
Our mission is to connect the pizza industry from mills to dairy producers, from pizzaioli to pizzerias.
One pizza at a time!
In the sixth episode of Connecting the Doughs, we interview Dev, owner of pizzeria restaurant East West in Tufnell Park, London. Originally from Punjab, Dev moved to the UK about 20 years ago, and he spent many summer holidays with his family in the southern Italian region of Puglia, where he fell in love with the local food. Here is the story of how East West brings the cuisines of India and Italy together in a fusion food love story. Enjoy! First, thank you so much for agreeing to do this interview with us. Just to let you know, it's the first English interview that we are running for our podcast, Connecting the Doughs. All the previous ones were in Italian.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm pleased to say I'm the first English one. Why not?
Yes. And listen, I have to say also thank you for your inspiring restaurant concept, because I found East West Pizzeria on Instagram.
Okay.
Searching for pizzerias around the UK, and I was struck, right? I have Indian friends. I lived in the UK now for about 10 years. So I have an Indian friend. I've been to India, and I'm passionate about Indian food. And I thought, wow. Why no one has thought about that idea before? So would you like to just tell us a bit more about East West Pizzeria and then the story of how it started?
Well, thank you, first of all, like I said, for having me here, and I'm glad you found it inspirational. It's pretty straightforward, actually. For the last 7 years, we've been going to a place in Italy, in Puglia, Bari. Mm-hmm. And I love it. It feels like home to me. You know, it's been fantastic for me. And we've been going, I think this year, because of COVID, is the first year we haven't gone to Italy for our like Easter vacation. Mm-hmm. So I miss it. So I love the people, the cuisine, everything about it is fantastic to me. 2 years ago, I started to think that I wanted to open a restaurant, an Italian restaurant. There used to be an Italian restaurant called Ostuni in Highgate, which closed down, which is my favorite. Again, focused on Puglian cuisine. Uh-huh. So around that time, and I thought, do you know what? Let's open a restaurant, and I will ask one of my favorite restaurateurs in Bari if he would like to be partners with me in this. So I would find staff, or he can find staff, and he'll train him in his kitchen. It's a fantastic restaurant he's got there. I love the food there. We eat there every time we go there, 2-3 times, you know, even in the same trip. Unfortunately, it didn't really work out, the partnership plan, but I had my heart set on doing something. And I thought, what can we do? So I didn't want to do a Italian restaurant without and somebody Italian in charge, if you know what I mean, because that would I didn't feel it was right at the time. It turned out it's not the case anyway, but now what I'll explain to you later. But from there on, I started thinking, what do I know? And I already had a takeaway where we do pizza and things like that. So that was going well. And so I thought, let's take it to the next level. So let's see if we can combine really traditional pizzeria techniques with the really traditional cooking from where I was born in India, which is the Punjab. So we started with the dishes from India and took the best from there, and obviously the pizza, which is fantastic, amazing in Puglia. I love it. So we see if we combine, and that's where the idea came along. And I had a site which was available. So there we are, you know, and 2 years later with East West.
Fantastic. Thank you, Dev. That's a great story. And so if I got it right, you already had a takeaway business.
I did.
Okay. So was that easy to switch from only takeaway to a more hospitality client-facing business?
I actually didn't enjoy the takeaway side of things. I took over this takeaway business in April 2018, and I took over the second side of the restaurant. And I mean, in 3 months, I was fed up. I loved the idea of hospitality, but the hours in a takeaway wasn't for me. It just wasn't right for me. So this is why I started, you know, I loved the hospitality side of things, so I started a restaurant. That's where the idea of a restaurant was born. So it wasn't really easy, to be honest. I like talking. I like talking to people. It's fantastic. And so it just comes naturally to me. So a restaurant was a nice and easy switch for me. Fantastic. Developing the menu and constructing the space, which is comfortable and accessible, that was the hard part, but that took a while. But no, it was a pretty straightforward and easy decision, really.
And when you do something for passion, even the harder things can get a bit softer.
Exactly.
And exactly. You mentioned about the menu, and this is really a question that I wanted to ask you. Could you please walk us through the process of deciding what ingredients would go on the pizzas from the menu?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. We started this process of developing the menu with a kitchen consultant, actually. The idea came to me of mixing Indian and Italian May 2019. And I was just thinking, I had a site already. I took the site, which was available. I loved it. So it was close to my house. And I was just thinking, you know, how do I take it further? And I met up with the kitchen consultant whose job is to design menus and set up kitchens and train people, develop recipes and, you know, just commission the restaurant and move on. Uh-huh. So he was actually a customer of mine at the takeaway while I was serving one day. So I asked him what he does and he said, this is what I do. So I said, all right, I got an idea. Why don't you take some of these dishes, which I grew up with, the Indian dishes first.
Yes.
So traditional dishes like butter chicken, rada chicken, cream chicken. So these are the dishes I really, really love. These are from my hometown. They are amazing and they're fantastic. Mm-hmm. Start with those first. And he went away. He did his research. He found the recipes from wherever, God knows. I helped him a little along the way. And he cooked those dishes for me. And they were amazing. Almost as good as I used to have when I was a child. And I go there every year, so I know what they taste like now even. And I was like, okay, you clearly know what you're doing. So, and he researched pizza toppings and everything else, and pizza doughs, whatever works. And so once I knew, you know, he was good, so I could trust him, he just went away and did it all by himself. The toppings, we started with the traditional Punjabi dishes first.
Yes.
So we did the dishes and then we did the sauces separately. We actually use the chicken, for example, or the chicken tikka masala or a chari chicken and everything is cooked in a clay oven, which is like a traditional tandoor in our own kitchen. So the sauces, again, we have about five. So we got the butter sauce, masala sauce, the traditional San Marzano tomatoes, of course. Then we have spinach and we have a chari sauce. We've got about five different sauces to bases to begin with. One simple base, but five different sauces. Toppings depends on the traditional dishes. So the butter chicken is clearly chicken. We wanted to avoid the, if you know, like Domino Pizza Hut.
Yes.
Where they take these exotic toppings like tandoori chicken or whatever, put them on the same pizza and throw them in a conveyor and out comes the pizza, which, don't get me wrong, it tastes amazing. I love Domino's as the next person, you know, like, when the, right?
Don't say that here.
When the time is right. Yeah. I have had Domino's in 2 years now, to be honest. So we have such fantastic pizza. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to stay true to the roots. So the traditional stone-baked pizza, traditional dishes, and some exciting combinations. Like for the butter chicken, we have oyster mushrooms and sun-dried tomatoes, which again take it to the next level.
Yes.
Make it a bit more gourmet-like, if you wanted to call it that.
Yes.
So that's where we went in. That's the direction we took. And some of them are really traditional, like spinach paneer, saag paneer pizza. That's a spinach base, and it always comes with paneer, so we just kept true to that. Added some crispy onions, so just for a bit of crunch and lift the pizza flavor a little bit. And that's it. It was a lot of trial error. I think this was probably about the 20 different iterations of menu which we went through.
Yes.
We'll try and error to get it right. Absolutely.
Well, fantastic. I can see on your menu you have like the East and the West kind of section for pizzas. Tell me more about your clientele and your customer base. Is it a mix? What's the most popular pizza? Do you have this kind of data that you can share with us?
No, absolutely. Our clients, we knew straight away it's going to be someone who's adventurous with their food. We were never going to get the people who really wanted the traditional pizza to begin with. I mean, now they do come back to it because even though our Western pizzas are amazing, like Tirolese, it's fantastic. You know, our margherita is almost as good as any Italian joint you can get in London right now. So we never had any complaints for that. Best sellers for us? And usually, I thought it would be a chicken tikka masala, but it's actually the saag paneer.
Oh, because it's vegetarian.
It's a vegetarian, I think, because there's not a lot of very good options for vegetarians. If you were to go anywhere in the restaurant, I'm not talking about pizzerias, they generally are quite a neglected breed.
Yes.
But Indian food lends itself to very nicely to vegetarian cuisine. So we've actually had a very good, fantastic response. And in fact, actually, we do a spinach paneer arancini, which is similar to the spinach sauce. That's the best seller for us, hands down. It's only been on the menu for 2 months, and everybody orders it. It doesn't matter if you're vegetarian or not. And I didn't expect that. For me, it was just naturally, because we eat vegetarian at home. We serve vegetarian at a restaurant. It just came naturally. But no, it's been quite fantastic to see the response, because it is actually one of my favorite dishes, the spinach paneer. So to see that, it's been amazing.
This podcast is sponsored by PizzaiolaTribe.com. The job board dedicated to artisanal pizzerias and professional pizza chefs around the world. If you need a pizzaiolo, you can quickly post a job offer for free and reach a community of passionate pizza chefs. If you are looking for work, you can easily find and apply for pizzaiolo jobs available right now, all in one place, only on pizzaiolatribe.com.
Now, we talk a lot about toppings and sauces. I wanted to ask you now something about the dough.
Yes.
Because in Italy, originally, we used to use a lot of double zero flour. And in the last years, we started to have many more different options that perhaps are even more healthy than the 00. Can you tell us a bit more about your pizza bases, the dough, what flours do you use?
No, absolutely. We've had a fantastic support from our supplier. They're Salvo 1968. I think they supply most of the pizzerias in London. And they were very helpful at the beginning when we were developing this. We found the typical 00 blue to be quite light because the toppings we have, they were quite heavy.
Yes.
Our portions are very hearty and they tend to be loaded quite well. And the content of cream in some of the pizzas. So that meant the lighter bases weren't holding up quite well, especially when traveling. So we had to experiment a lot. And we settled on Della Giovanna Nobile Grano with Germ Flour Zero Blue. That's the one we use at the moment. And it seems to be holding up its quite own against. It's light when it needs to be. For example, if you're just getting a margarita, it's perfectly well-balanced, and it holds its own with the stronger toppings. For example, the butter shrimp pizza has got a masala cream sauce, which is quite heavy, and then that wasn't coming out right at the end because it used to get quite soggy. So we had to work a lot, try experiment a lot, but this is the one we use right now.
Yeah, fantastic. How long do you let the dough rest? How many hours?
We've got about 24-hour fermentation at the moment.
Okay.
So obviously, you know, pretty much standard, do the dough, let it rest for about a couple of hours, room temperature. Then we let it ferment for about 24 hours before we actually start using it again.
Okay, great. Right. I now like to move on another topic, which is staff. I'm curious, how do you find your staff, and especially pizza chef?
Of course. I was mentioning to you earlier about the kitchen consultant who I hired. He's not Italian and he's not Indian. We'll tell you when you come to see me, that only with some other people.
Yes.
With a drink or two, you know, where is he from? Because you'll be surprised. He learned everything. He taught himself, you know, he was actually a kitchen consultant who moved on from fine dining before. So he trained in classical French cooking, etc.
Okay.
So he taught himself pretty much everything from scratch, really, which was beneficial for me because you didn't have the baggage of an Indian person trying to marry something which he wasn't familiar with, you know.
Yes.
It was actually very beneficial to have him on board because he didn't know Italian at the beginning and he didn't know Indian apart from the basics. So when he actually went in, he did a lot of research, got it right. And because he did it together, so that's where the combination works so beautifully, I think, personally. And which is where others probably not done so well. You know, when you're trying to take a product which is, works fantastically on its own, for example, if you just had a curry, how do you make it Italian? It's you can't really, that's the thing. But if you're starting two very different cuisines from scratch and learning yourself, so he was able to do that fantastically. And when we were about to open in January, he actually came to me and he said, listen, I was supposed to finish, but I would love to stay on with you because the project's been fascinating for me.
Uh-huh.
If I could stay on, that'd be amazing. And I'm not going to say no because he's very talented. Mm-hmm. So he's actually been, so we got two positions in the kitchen, really. One, which is the head chef, which is where he comes in. He makes the sauces and he creates a piece of dough and everything else.
Yeah.
And then we have a pizziola. So who's actually doing the day-to-day everything, you know? So, I mean, they both work interchangeably, but the sauces are all his creation.
Yes.
My pizza chef, he is actually Romanian right now, currently.
Okay.
He trained, again, in Bari. So that was a plus for me because he understood exact techniques and the cuisine I was going for.
Yes.
To be honest, it's not been very hard to find, especially because, you know, COVID, a lot of people have been laid off. So, but for me, I think it's not so much the skill and because people can learn. I think it's more the personalities for me are more important. And we are a very close-knit team. We've been through, you know, quite a lot of tough times through COVID and we have to build the brand from the beginning.
Yes.
So for me, I don't look generally from nationality or where they're from, but it's more importantly, are they the kind of people I can get on with, somebody I can work with, because we've been working very closely. It's important for me.
Absolutely.
So we're a very close-knit team, so that's where we look for, really, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned about COVID, and I mean, it affected all of us, and especially the hospitality business. And I was talking with a friend of mine who owns a pizzeria outside of Bedford, and I was amazed by the amount of delivery business that it has done during lockdown. Is this something that has flourished and exploded also on your with your experience?
I still have the takeaway at the moment.
Okay.
That is doing fantastic. I think with COVID, people went back to their safe spaces. So if you were a known entity before COVID, and people just went to you straight away. But with us, because we were opened, I think, 4 weeks before the lockdown.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, so we were very new. So it was very challenging, and especially with a unique and, again, a very challenging concept. It's not very easy to get your head around how an Indian-Italian fusion would work unless you see the pictures on Instagram, for example. Then you see, that looks okay, you know, that's cool. But if you were to just hear about, it's very challenging. So you have to be quite adventurous to go there. So we struggled initially, I won't lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
For the first 4 weeks, before COVID, it was fantastic. We had an amazing response. We were busy, packed restaurant. But as soon as the lockdown happened, it was very tricky. We built it again. Most of our customers now are word of mouth.
Yes.
We don't really get any other avenues simply because people tell, you know, they come in, eat in, and they're floored because they're very skeptical at first.
Yes.
Because it's like, how is it going to work? What is it going to do? But when you try it, it's just mind blowing. I never get tired of watching people walk
reaction.
In and tying in and their reaction because it's always amazed. The only complaint we get in the restaurant is because that our pizza is not sliced. That's it. I haven't had any complaints since then. Touch wood.
No, that sounds amazing. And I suppose I was talking yesterday with an Italian guy who owns a pizza, a vegan pizzeria in Brick Lane.
Yeah.
And he was saying, because of the offering, which is very specific and different from the traditional recipes, he said that the contact with the customer, it was paramount to him. You know, the story they can tell, the questions they can answer face to face. I think it's something that you mentioned as well. It's so important with your concept. And has for example, social media, Instagram, these visual communication tools have helped to kind of communicate out in the world?
Instagram has been very beneficial. It's been very beneficial. We didn't always get the images right to begin with. So we were still, because we were still trying to figure out what was our style. But right now, I think the engagement is fantastic. We're growing as a community, not just as a brand, but as a community, because now people are responding back to us. You know, when I post a story, they want to know what we're doing. They're interested in us. So that's been very useful. But it's word of mouth, really. When people come in and eat in, or when they order a delivery, and because it's so new and it's so unique, they tell 10 other people about it. And that's been the biggest driver for bringing business in. Instagram as a community, fantastic. But you can't beat the word of mouth, unfortunately.
Absolutely, absolutely. I agree with that. And I didn't realize that you opened just 4 weeks before lockdown. I mean, there is some excitement for me around your concept. And I'm, so what do you think? What are your plans after this COVID madness is gone? Do you have any plans to expand, for example?
There's an old joke that said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. before COVID, I wanted to rule the world. The plan was to open one restaurant every year, and I was on track. You know, we opened a takeaway next year. This one came along, and we were going to do another one. To be honest, by the end of this year, we would have done another one. But right now, I think the priority is a little different. We still want to keep making amazing food, you know, amazing and accessible. I think we are quite affordable for what we do, and I want to keep it that way. But the goal is to just stay standing at the end of this pandemic.
Yes.
Make sure, you know, we stand by the lovely staff we have, because they've been amazing. They've been a rock throughout this. And what I want to do is just make sure that we're all safe and comfortable in our lives throughout this and at the end of it. And we'll see where the market takes us. We keep, you know, the strategies, meetings are happening every Friday. As the rules change, we have to adapt to it.
Yes.
So we'll keep doing it, but no, expansion is something definitely is on the cards. When and how, I have no idea at this moment. I would love to tell you, but Mr. Boris Johnson doesn't make it easy right now.
No. And I have then the last question. I'm really curious to think, is there any plan? How would you see an East-West concept in your home country in India?
It's already happening to a certain level. They do it quite well. India, like when we were growing up, we regularly used to do Indo-Chinese fusion food. That was very common. So fusion done quite well, but I feel that what we're doing is very different because they're using certain ingredients, like Italian ingredients. But what we've done is actually built it from scratch. So there's definitely a market for it in India. Actually, it's probably a better market in India than it is here, 100%. We'll take it. We'll see. It's not something I've thought about because London is home right now. I've been in London for about 7.5 years and in England probably longer than 20 years. So I feel comfortable. This is home right now. So I haven't really thought about expanding outside of it.
London,
much to be honest. Right now, I just want to focus on regional first and then we'll take it from there afterwards.
Fantastic. Step by step.
Small. Yeah. If I can get this running first, you know, and then we'll take it from afterwards.
Fantastic. Dev, thank you so much. This has been a great interview for me. The first in English, as I mentioned earlier on, and what an exciting concept, inspiring. Thank you very much. And I hope I can come soon and try the east side of your menu.
Absolutely, I look forward to it. And thank you very much for having me.
Fantastic. Thank you, Dev. We'll speak very soon. Bye-bye.